From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, executive producer Jason Becknell, keeping the ship steering on course this morning for us. And we're glad that you're joining us, a great panel with us, and we'll introduce them in a second. Want to remind you, you can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. We're streaming live, of course, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. That's where you'll find our podcast. You can also find our podcast on this newfangled thing called iTunes. So check that out as well. Absolutely free to you. Now, as I mentioned, a great panel. So let's introduce them now. We start off with a husband and wife team, Alan and Terry Thornton. You come to us together, but you've got different businesses, and we're glad that you're here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks.
We'll talk about your businesses, but I was interested, obviously, as a husband and wife, you got to find something to do in your downtime to take away the stress of work, and you guys turn to music.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Well, we play ukuleles, and we were both musicians in college and played different things, but I've started helping to run a ukulele group in the area of Southeast Euchers. And Terry and I have a band called Throckmorton Ukulele Band, which is a two-person band. She plays bass ukulele. And
which is a lot of fun.
I didn't know there was such a
there
thing.
There is, and it sounds just like a real bass, so it's really entertaining.
And so what kind of venues are you taking your music to?
Oh, farmers, markets, stores, barbecue
Snowville
places.
Days.
Yes, and any place that'll have us. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's a lot of fun. When you guys are operating two separate businesses, I would imagine that kind of common time together is nice.
Yeah, it is. Actually, it is one business, but Decatur Computer Help is doing business as, because it started where I was doing public relations and Alan was helping and doing keeping all the systems up to date, doing all the computer work, and then other people started hiring him, and then he ended up having so much work with that it became part of the same business but a separate entity. And we work from home. I'm on the main floor. He has the whole bottom floor, and we get together for lunch or dinner and don't run into each other during the day like any other office, but it's a lot of fun. It works great.
And that's fantastic. Well, we'll look forward to talking with you about your businesses coming up in just a second. I want to introduce the third member of our panel, Anel Elder. Anel, tell us what you don't do. You wear so many different hats. you've got a book coming out, but also real estate appraisal. You're a hairdresser. What don't you do?
Well, it's a lot that I don't do. I am a wife. I'm a mother. My husband is present in the studio today, Mr. Leroy Elder. I'm also a grandmother of two wonderful grandchildren. And basically, my life is full. I do wear several hats, and I love that because, you know, it keeps the spontaneity in my life, and I don't get a chance to get bored. So, of course, I'm having fun with my hair today. You see this purple hair. This color is called Purple Rage, if anyone wants to try it, be bold enough. But yes, I am so thrilled about my book, Matt.
And with the purple hair, the book is called?
The book is called Purple River. And purple was my nickname as a child. You know, I just loved the color purple. And I started calling myself Purple. And I just thought about a river. A river is so wide and so deep, and it has so many things within it. And yes, I came up with that title, Purple River.
Well, we'll look forward to talking with you about the book, Purple River, and about your real estate appraisal business as well.
Thank you.
But the final member of our panel, Bridget Lewis, the president and owner of Workplace Learning Solutions. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I am a training consultant. I work primarily with small businesses, government agencies, nonprofits. And we help organizations improve performance, help them provide the training and professional development that their staff needs in order to do a good job.
What's your background? How'd you get into that?
Well, my background is kind of rich, but primarily in education. So I started out as a teacher. I am from the West Indies, from Antigua.
Got a little bit of the accent there, yeah.
Yes. And in Antigua, I was a school teacher for approximately 13 years. Then I moved to the States, did some different things, and landed in corporate America as a training. I started out as a training coordinator and eventually worked my way up until in 2009 I started my own business, and I'm now doing this you know, on a smaller scale than corporate, but, you know, I'm having a lot of fun with it.
And there are advantages to that. We'll talk about those coming up in just a second. This is DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes. Let's jump over to Alan Thornton. And Alan, I'm really interested from Decatur Computer Help. There's really no industry, I don't think, out there that is more ever-changing, ever-evolving than computers. How do you keep up?
Well, it's fun. You know, I mean, you have to enjoy it. And I think if you don't enjoy what you do for a living, it's kind of sad. So I enjoy reading about it. And, you know, hands-on experience is a really great teacher, too. So, I mean, things get put in front of me that I've usually read something about already or know a little something about. You know, that's why it's been fun to do it for 20 years. Terry once said, I don't know how you look at gray boxes every day. They're all the same. And I said, well, no, they're becoming customized from the moment people pull them out and put their name in. You know, they're all different, completely like snowflakes.
A lot of talk about the latest, greatest thing, Windows 10. What's that going to be like?
Well, it's pretty nice. It's certainly, I think, an improvement over 8 and even 8.1, which was somewhat better. But I think it's a lot more user-friendly, and that possibly Microsoft had lost their way a little bit trying to force people to do what they wanted them to do with the interface in particular. They thought a touch interface would work well on any kind of computer, whether it was a touch interface computer or not. And that clearly wasn't what most people were looking for. But I've installed it a couple times. It's very nice, I think, quicker and more geared toward the user. So I think we'll be pleased with it in the long run.
What's the process like for you when a new product or a new program hits the market? How long does it take you to pick up on all the different bells and whistles? Because you really need to be as much of an expert as you can be.
Right. Well, you can do beta tests if you're in this field, certainly. And individuals can at this point, too. But you can use trial versions of the software and even sometimes have some involvement in reporting bugs and things like that, as everyone who does beta testing does, and have some kind of input as to how it comes out and then actually, you know, feel really comfortable with it by the time it's time to help your clients use it.
The website is DecaturComputerHelp.com. Our guest is Alan Thornton from Decatur Computer Help. Talk to us about malware and viruses. People are always on the lookout for that. What's the best way to protect yourself?
Well, the main thing I'm telling people these days, it does change. Like you mentioned that things like this changed somewhat. It used to be that the main vector for getting into trouble with that was attachments in email. And you remember hearing this all the time. Currently, that's probably less than 15% of the way that these things travel. They're more likely to be part of downloads. And I, at this point, really kind of encourage people not to download any free software unless it comes from someone you know, like Google, for example. It's dangerous. And there are hitchhikers that come along with your program. I was downloading a DivX, which is a video program that a lot of people use, the other day. And I noticed you had to uncheck a bunch of boxes to keep from getting other helpers that you didn't really want.
I was talking with executive producer Jason before the show. He's more tech savvy than I am. If I buy a computer, I'm going to take it out of the box and just kind of set it up. But we were talking about people who actually build their own computers. Tell me about that.
Well, it's a little bit of a dying art. I think most of the people who build their own computers now are gamers, or they, you know, maybe have a really specific function like in math or science or something of that nature. It's not really particularly less expensive anymore. The reason that you would do that would be able to choose the high-end components that you might need. If, say, you're an architect and you want a really great graphics card so you can do automated flyovers that you can show clients and things like that uses a lot of data, and that is on the card, and so you have to have a heavier card than you would in most things that you would get off the shelf. So it's that kind of customization that people do it for now, as a rule.
I remember 10, 15 years ago, the debate was desktops versus laptops, and now you've got tablets and you've got this and that. Are desktops relevant for people anymore?
I think so in a couple of ways. First of all, if you want to do a long-term investment, if you're not the kind of person who changes to the latest and greatest thing every few years, first of all, a desktop doesn't get knocked around the way a laptop or a netbook does. And secondly, you know, you can change out components if you choose. As I mentioned, like if you wanted a hotter video card or better graphics utilization or more RAM or something like that, it's a lot easier to hot rod and, you know, make it work the way you want it to. And I think people tend to use desktops for a few more years sometimes than laptops in general.
How about this Apple versus Microsoft debate? Is there anybody else on the horizon that's going to provide some sort of competition, some sort of other option?
Well, there are a couple. I'm using a Chromebook here in the studio right now, which is basically just a browser. It's a Google Chrome product, an operating system, and it doesn't have much but just a browser. But if you think of how much of our time we spend in the browser these days, it's almost not a question between Apple and Microsoft any longer, because if you're in the browser, you're in the browser, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. And the same with this, or even a Linux computer, which is a free operating system.
Again, the website is DecaturComputerHelp.com. Alan Thornton from Decatur Computer Help. Let me scoot over to your wife, Terry Thornton, with Thornton Communications. Tell us about your background, your path to running your own business.
Well, I was in the news business for 20 years in radio and TV, and most recently at Channel 5, where I launched Good Day Atlanta. And when I had our son, you just couldn't deal with the hours anymore. It was the year of the AirTran crash and the Olympic Park bombings, and you'd go to work and never know when you're coming home. So I went to work for a small PR firm, which turned out to be they were making a lot of money but not paying the bills. So I finally realized, well, for heaven's sakes, if somebody like that can run a business, I can. So I made the leap, started my own business with some clients that stuck with me for many, many years and grew by word of mouth, and have been in business. Let's see, I gauge it by my son's age, and he is about to go to college. He's 18. He'll be 19 in the fall. So I've been in business 18 years.
Where's he going to college?
Flagler in St. Augustine.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the historic district, and he wants to be in graphic arts, and they have a great arts program. So
yeah. Talk to me about the types of businesses you're working with. How are you attracting new businesses to your company?
I work mainly with professional services businesses, law firms, accounting firms, real estate companies, and have also in the past done some clean energy companies. And it's mainly been word of mouth, although I do reach out every now and then when I have an opening for a client and let former clients know in case they have anyone that they can refer back. And the segment of work I do is called B2B, business to business. So, for instance, instead of doing something that reaches out to consumers, it's generally businesses that sell products and services to other businesses. So for some reason, I just fell into that, and I love it, and wouldn't change a thing.
How you talk about change. How has public relations changed over the past two decades you've been in it?
Enormously. And a lot of it is tied to changes in the media. When I was still in TV, we were already losing ratings to cable. So there was a lot of pressure to bring ratings up and work harder, work smarter. Then over the years, cable continued to grow, and then the recession came, and reporters were getting laid off or getting buyouts, and it was just really tragic with people with a lot of years' experience just having nowhere to go. So also during that time, while people had time on their hands, they started learning social media. So social media started growing like crazy. So that became a huge component of public relations, and then that led to content marketing. Because all the media had so much room and so few people, they started accepting more content from the general public. You now see people's personal videos online, things taken from YouTube that's basically free content, but that's interesting and can be, help people want to see that particular news outlet. So now you've got companies that are generating their own content, their own articles, columns, videos, social media posts to get their own word out there. And in many ways, they don't have to go through the traditional media anymore. So it's been a huge change, and it's been a lot of fun. I think my media background really helped me see the potential of that and kind of stay on the crest of the wave. And it'll keep changing.
Terry Thornton from Thornton Communications. The website, terrythornton.com. That's Terry with an I.
Uh-huh. Two R's and an I.
So you'd always work for somebody else. You worked for Fox 5. You would work for a PR firm. Then you start your own business almost two decades ago. How did you do it? How did you succeed? Were there influences along the way?
I think once I got on my own, I realized I had probably had an entrepreneurial personality the whole time, feeling like I saw another way to do things that was, not always appreciated. But when you have your own business, you see what needs to be done, and it's up to you to get it done. So when you see something, when you see an opportunity, if you don't go for it, you're not going to get it. So you have to, and also I've always been, my dad was a super hard worker. He had us hauling concrete blocks to build a cabin when I was four, mixing cement. So that I had that work ethic from when I was a little kid, and am happier when I'm busy. So for me, being able to work along those lines was good. And oddly enough, one of the best work experiences I ever had was as a waitress in college, because you have to be so organized. It's hard work. People take waitresses for granted. But I think that also helped me, you know, move ahead and realized you can't let details slip. You've got to pretty much stay on top of everything if you want to keep the doors open and the money coming in.
Before we move on, how did you realize that your business is going to be successful? How did you realize, as you said, that you were running with the big dogs?
Well, there were a lot of times, but one of my favorite things was after I'd been in business about, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, I entered a national media relations competition, and I won it, and the people I beat were, and it, basically it's me, it's just one person doing the PR end of the agency. The people I beat were Harley Davidson's 100th anniversary, which included a Bob Dylan concert, and the Toyota Prius promotion, where celebrities all drove their Priuses to the Oscars. So those were all huge campaigns with hundreds of people and probably massive budgets, but, you know, I beat them. So that was nice. And then also won a local award one time where I went up to accept the award, and before me, there were all these huge teams of people for their, smiling for their team portraits as the winners, and they kept looking around going, where's your other people? I was going, well, I'm it, you know. So anyway, things like that. I think people can say, small business, you know, it's a small time. When in fact, it's the opposite. You can do a whole lot more many times than a large agency because there's less time spent on small tasks and a lot more time, productive time spent on the big tasks.
Well, we're glad you're here today. She's on Twitter at TTHO, and her website again, territhornton.com, TERRI. Let's move on to Annelle Elder.
Yes.
Annelle, author, real estate appraiser. We'll talk about the book in just a second, but tell me a little bit about what you're doing with real estate appraisal, how long you've been doing it.
Elder's Real Estate Enterprise was established in 2000. My husband and I is a small company. We're both appraisers, we're home inspectors, we're mobile notaries. And I love being an appraiser. We have appraised properties, seem like either I have been either to the location, any seem like all counties and cities, either I have been to them, around them, through them, or somewhere. You know, we went from Decatur to the Florida line, to the Tennessee line. I mean, when the real estate bubble burst, we were forced to come out of the metro to make money. You know, it just was a mess. And my husband was my navigator. He is originally from Georgia. I'm from Albany, New York. And I was privileged to be able to ride on the passenger side and see Georgia. And it's such a beautiful state. I love Georgia. And that's what happened. We just dug in. We just jumped in both feet, and we've been appraising for now. I think we've had the company nearly 14 years, and I love it. And I think I'm just out of the norm. When people look at me, they don't see me as a woman that would be a home inspector that would get under a crawl space. You know?
I don't even like to do that.
Right. I don't like it, but, you know, it brings the money in. And I just love it because I don't feel like I'm just that norm woman, you know, that I can look and I can go to a panel box. I can just look and see just things that, you know, the average woman would not do. And I just love that, being out of the box. Can't you tell by my look today?
We just heard from Alan and Terry, who spouses who work together. What are the benefits? Maybe there are challenges of working with your husband.
The benefits, I think the main benefit is that I can put my mind together, and my husband, we can put our minds together for the same project and for the same outcome. And he is very particular, to say the least. He takes this stuff seriously, which I do as well, but my husband is really a perfectionist, and I'm an organizer. And so that comes together well, and especially with him being a navigator, he does very well with directions. And I love the appraising side, but it's not like, I know I'm gonna do A, B, and C. But I'm just not to the point where, oh my God, this thing is going to blow my mind if I don't get it exactly right. I don't take it that seriously because I think I've been doing it so long.
but I just love it because I love the main thing that I think I love is going into all these different homes and the personalities and the different cultures that I see and how the homes are different. You design your home differently because of the culture that you come from. And I have just met some fabulous people doing the appraising, and but it still keeps me grounded because I never come home and say, oh, if I just had their house opposed to my house. You know, I'm always thankful for my four walls.
Eldersrealestate.com is the website. Anel Elder, our guest. So we'll leave Anel Elder, the real estate appraiser.
To eldersrealestate.com.
To eldersrealestate.com. And we'll go to Anel Elder, the author.
Yes.
Tell us about Purple River. Why'd you write this book?
You see that smile. This book, I wrote the book because it's actually, I've been carrying this book around inside of me most of my life. I am looking into the world as I go about my daily life, and I see so many hurting people. I mean, it is evident on the news every day. And I believe that I watched a movie last week, and I saw this attorney, and he said that we spend most of our adulthood getting over our childhood. And my book is written to share some of the things that became hurdles. You know, the events of my life became hurdles in my adult life. The events of my childhood life became hurdles in my adult life. And I had to really dig deep and just do self-inventory. And the hurdles that I faced were in the double digits. So I really had a lot of work to do. I was given away as a child, and that started, a dark place. I came from a dark place as far as I'm concerned. And I just felt like I see so many young women and that are struggling, and they're struggling internally. And so I just felt like my message, I had a lot of work to do, but I want to share my message to share with others that you can do it. And even though I came out on the winning side, I had hurdles such as low self-esteem. I was dealing with chemical dependency. I was a teenage mom at 17. I became pregnant and had my first child. I was a single mother. I've dealt with domestic violence, not from my husband here, but I was married previously. I had abandonment issues. I was picking Mr. Wrongs. I love that chapter. You know, a lot of professional women want to read that chapter, Picking Mr. Wrongs. Actually, the name of that chapter is The Pain I Learned from Picking Mr. Wrongs. And so I am just, I want to say I came out on the winning side in every category. I was also a high school dropout. Now my husband and I hold business degrees, and I have multiple businesses. I mean, I just really just did a U-turn, a 360. And so I'm just so proud of myself, and I know everyone else can do it, but I want people to really understand that this book is a must read for men. The men in our life, we need you all, and it's not a basher. It's not a basher. A lot of time we bash the men. We love our men. We need our men. We need the men to stick and stay as husbands and as fathers. And it's evident in this world that we're living in that the men, where are they? We need you all. So you know what? I'm just loving the fact that my book, I feel, is going to reach the masses. So it's for young women, it's for mature women, and it's for the men in our lives.
As you mentioned, a lot of people have these experiences, whether they're young women, whether they're older women. A lot of people have them. Not a lot of people can put them down into the pages of a book. How did you make that come together as a first-time author?
I actually, Matt, I did this book in about 5 weeks. And people say, wow, how in the world did you do that? As I said, I carried this book in my heart. The book was already there. I just needed the time to put it together on pages. And with every word that was written, it was my therapy. And I'm emotional, even at this point, I'm emotional. And so many people have just stopped me in my tracks and started sharing their intimate details about their life. And we may start crying in the middle of the road because it's so many people, I swear to you, it's so many hurting people. My baby sister is a social worker, and she deals with this every day. And she knows that it is a lot of hurting people out here, and we have to do something about it. And a lot of time we wear these masks. We have to take these masks off. How many times we see each other? Oh, how are you? I'm great. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. We're not really great, but we don't want to share our story with everyone all the time. It has to be someone that we feel we can trust. But we have to dig deep. We have to ask for help, and we have to move on and live well. And I just ask that maybe everybody put a little purple in their lives.
Now, purple, obviously the color of Alzheimer's awareness. What does that mean to you?
That is a whole nother passion of mine, Matt. Thank you so much for asking. Mm-hmm. Alzheimer's, I became connected with persons diagnosed with Alzheimer's, I would say about 21 years ago, as I worked as a nursing assistant starting out trying to feed my babies. I have two daughters, which are women now. And I was doing nursing assistant work, and I didn't have a clue what Alzheimer's was. I just said, now I just told Mr. So-and-so something, or just asked Miss So-and-so something, and I know they heard me. And they asked me the same question again, or they just did not do what, you know, I was expecting them to do. And then as I talked to the nurses and really just dug deep into what was going on with this patient, they shared with me this disease called Alzheimer's. And I end up going in, and I said, well, maybe when I finish hair school, I'll just take a different angle from everyone else. I'll be a contractual hairdresser. And that's what I did. I went on to be a hairdresser, and I've had now 13 facilities, and I am an independent contractor. When I go into these facilities, which are memory care homes, personal care homes, nursing homes, children's homes, I've had 13 facilities, like I said, and that connection with the Alzheimer's community has blessed my life. And as I say, I will start out a relationship with a client, which is Alzheimer's. Good morning, Miss So-and-so, how are you? I'm Nell, I'm gonna be your hairdresser. And that client may still have some memory left, you know, substantially. And before it's over with, I may see them advance and advance and advance on to the point where they're almost at the end of their road. And I am just so certain. And I just make sure that I go in and thank that client, because at that point in their lives, they're no longer looking at race as an issue. They're not even remembering my name or theirs, but you know what? They still deserve that dignity. And I even lost a client this Sunday, and I am so familiar with what it looks like now. I've seen the rise and fall of the chest, and I know that last breath. I know it too well. And so I'm just mindful to go in there and give them a hug or finger comb their hair and ask them how they're doing, and tell them, in my mind I'm looking at them saying goodbye, but in my heart I'm saying rest in peace, because I know that they've come to the end of their journey. But it's really blessed my heart and my life.
It's powerful. The website is purpleriverbooksenterprise.com. Annelle Elder, author, proprietor of Elders Real Estate. Real quick, tell us, book signings. You have some coming up?
Oh my God, yes. I am booking up and I'm loving it. I'm making some wonderful contacts. My book signing is going to be at North DeKalb Mall, and it's going to be October the 18th, 2015, from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. The pre-sales will start on my husband's birthday, which is September the 30th. And I am just so ready to share my story with the world, because I want people to open up. We have to get better. And I would love to see someone live well because of what they've read out of Purple River.
Well, that's wonderful. We're glad that you're here. Now let's move over to our final guest, Bridget Lewis. She is the president and owner of Workplace Learning Solutions. So tell us a little bit about your business and what makes it unique.
Okay, so at Workplace Learning Solutions, we pride ourselves in, working very closely with our clientele. We service, like I said before, small businesses, government agencies, and nonprofits that range in size from one employee to 2,500 employees. So that's kind of the range. And we are committed to really delivering great service to our clients. And every business that you know will say exactly that. We're committed to delivering great service. But what we do, because we're consultants and it's all about performance and enhancing and improving performance, a lot of times I find that consultants in my field will tend to approach a business already having a solution in mind before even hearing what the companies or the establishment's exact problems are. So for us, we pride ourselves in really listening. And listening is more than just hearing, but it's really listening to get to an understanding of what is being asked for, and then providing a solution that the client is likely to feel is valuable. Because another thing that happens in my industry, we go in, we do the work, and then we leave, and the client just kindly folds that book up and puts it on a shelf because they can't find a good application for it.
And they've just thrown their money away.
So we consider ourselves partners to our clients. And our goal is to make sure that you're happy. We're not going to give you something and then leave without knowing for a fact that you're happy. It costs you nothing extra. If it takes 3 more months for us to get it right, our goal is to get it right so that when we leave, the tools that we leave behind, you actually use for a long time to come.
Is that a conversation you have ahead of time before you contract with them? Look, we're going to do this for you, but you've got to be open to change if that's what's necessary.
Absolutely. And it comes in the types of questions that you ask, you know, from the very beginning, because it's absolutely essential to get a clear vision of what is needed and where the company is trying to go. And so we have to go in, we have to be ready to ask all the right questions, because oftentimes a company will approach a consultant like myself and say, hey, we need some training for our employees. We need some customer service training. That's a common request, because our employees just don't know customer service. And oftentimes, it's not that they don't know customer service, but there are so many other issues within the job itself that are acting as barriers to them doing a good job that it comes off as if they don't. And so through our consulting, we are able to help them just get to the root cause of what, you know, the performance issues are within their organization. And if training will fix it, we'll be happily provide you some training. But if it's something else, we want to make sure that they know what that something else is.
Bridget Lewis, our guest, the president and owner of Workplace Learning Solutions, the website workplace-learning-solutions.com. You can follow them on Twitter at WLS Training Co. So talk to me about some of the public workshops that you do.
Well, when it comes to public workshops, we really do more than just that. Like I said, we like to work very closely with business clients and provide them the soft skills development and professional development training that they need. If we have to do public workshops, we focus very closely on workforce development, career development, and technology. Those are some of the main areas that we work on. We also have, because we're a small business, and there's two of us, it's myself and I have one full-time employee at this time. Because we are so small, our scale can sometimes be small. So one of the things that I've done that I think I've been very skillful at is to align myself with larger organizations that have products that my clients can use. So I don't do a whole lot of redevelopment, reinventing the wheel, to, you know, coin a very familiar phrase. But I work with folks who already have the content and have the solutions that I can share with my clients. So we have, for example, in one of our partnerships, we partner with a technology company, and through them we're able to offer things like Microsoft Office training or Microsoft professional certifications, CompTIA certifications, and most recently we have ventured out into cybersecurity training for end users and also for information assurance professionals. So those are some of the big things that we do. And then we just yesterday put the ink on the paper on a new contract or a new partnership where we'll now be able to provide things like PMP certification for project managers, Scrum certification, and Six Sigma. And so when it comes to providing workshops, we don't just go out and just host public workshops per se, but we do try to have a nice broad scale of products and services that we can share with our clients.
Now, we talked with Alan earlier. He's in an industry where just circumstances force him to always be looking at changing and evolving with the technology. You seem to be changing and offering new and different things. What drives that? What pushes that?
I think I have a very short attention span. And so I get very bored if I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again. And that's one of the reasons why it's so great working with the group that I'm working with and doing what I do, because each client's need is different. So that if I have two clients who are looking for customer service training, the need is going to be so different from one to the other that you never end up doing the same thing. So for me, my driving force and my motivator is just constantly doing different things and bringing new products in. I'm always open to partnerships, bringing new things in, so that I can have different things to offer to my clients.
Best way for listeners who might want to get in touch with your business, just through the website?
Through my website, through our Twitter, WLS Training Co. is our Twitter. Also on Facebook at WLS Page is our Facebook page. We're all over social media. So we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, we're on Google Plus. We're all over social media because we believe that's the way we're going to reach our audience.
There you go. The website, if you're old-fashioned, and the website, workplace-learning-solutions.com. Bridget Lewis from Workplace Learning Solutions, we're glad that you're with us today.
Thank you.
Is DeKalb Business Today. Matt Holmes with you for another few minutes. We'll bring it back to the full table. We're getting some folks listening live who have questions for the panel. So, Terry, we'll go to you. And again, this is Terry Thornton from Thornton Communications here in Decatur. Terry, listener wants to know, what's the best platform today to start a blog? Is that something you recommend to people in 2015?
Yeah, that's great. There are so many. You could pretty much take your pick. A lot of people will do WordPress blogs. It's super easy to do a Google blog. I don't know if there's one that's better than any other, but I think it is good to do a blog, especially if you want to let people know more about the type of business that you do or the type of issues that you face, or just getting useful information out there is great because it helps educate people and they learn more about you. If they need more help, they know where to go. But you're also, in a way, doing a community service in terms of keeping people posted on the latest and greatest things. And LinkedIn also has a very good blogging platform, which is very easy. So if you're on LinkedIn, you don't even really have to start, get a web host or anything like that. You can just pick up their blogging platform. I did that and was actually kind of surprised at how many people paid attention to it, like with the very first post. So if you're looking just for a super easy solution and you're on LinkedIn, that's a good way to start.
You know, one thing I'm guilty of is if I'm blogging, I'll just write and write and write because it's not a newspaper. Nobody's going to tell me a certain number of words. That's probably not the best thing, though, if you actually want people to read what it is you're putting out there, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I think if it's interesting and if it has a good lead at the very top, you know, you can pull people in. I think part of it is just how much time people have, but I don't, you know, and there's also, it's relative what is long. Some people might consider 200 words, you know, like a full page long. Some people might consider, you know, 3 or 5 pages long. I think it depends upon your reader and how interesting it is. Now, one good thing that I had learned when I worked briefly for a wire service was one of my editors said, the best part of writing is cutting. So whenever I write something, I'll go back and start cutting unnecessary words or phrases or repetition. And that really does help tighten it up and make it easier to read. So that's probably the best writing advice I could give.
Okay. And now a question for you from a listener. I love that you're a woman home inspector. Do you know any good handy men or handy women in DeKalb?
Of course I do. One of the top persons that I would recommend is Kelvin Johnson. He's a customized contracting. Kelvin Johnson with customized contracting. He is awesome. Yeah, and you get what you pay for. He's the main person I would recommend. It depends on what they want. Did they specifically say what they were looking for?
Handyman or handy woman?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the handyman.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Last question for the full panel. You guys are all entrepreneurs. You're all in business for yourself. What's the best thing? What's the best part other than I am my own boss? What is it you enjoy most? Alan, we'll start with you.
Well, the funniest thing about it is people say, well, you work for yourself, so you don't really have a boss. And the fact is, you have lots of bosses.
And
I think everyone will agree. But that's the great thing about it, too, actually. I mean, you know, everybody's worked in an office where you see the same 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 people every week. And this is just great. I mean, I go to people's homes. I meet their dogs. I love dogs. Mm-hmm. And you know, we just have a good time. We fix their problems. And you know, my goal in my business has always been to help people to get the money out of their technology that they spent on it, and more. And it's just the, you know, ability of, to keep it going without problems and to find new uses for it, or to you know, solve problems that they didn't think the technology would help them with. And that's the most gratifying part of it, I think.
Terry, how about you? Best part about being an entrepreneur?
Two things. One was having the flexibility to do work I love and be a parent. And I was there pretty much every afternoon when my son comes home from school and just graduated from Decatur High. So and the other thing is being able to offer counsel to people that helps them through whatever problem. Part of what I do is crisis communications. And when people have a crisis, whether it's a natural disaster or something, you know, a crime related or whatever, the normal human instinct is to pull in. But when you're working, especially with the media, there's a huge press for information, which makes it all the more stressful. And helping people kind of navigate that situation to get as much, you know, information out there as they can and still give them a comfort level is very satisfying.
Bridget, you run Workplace Learning Solutions. What's the best part about being in business for yourself?
The best part about being in business for myself is actually being in business, because it is something. It's not for the faint of heart. And what I realized, I started Workplace Learning Solutions at the end of 2009, early 2010, and the pains of growing the business are real. Mm-hmm. I had many friends who, you know, were encouraging me to go back to work. But for me, Workplace Learning Solutions became one of my children. It was part of me, and there was no way I could abandon it. And so for me, the greatest joy of all is to be able to sit here today and say, we overcame, we survived, we're here, we're still kicking. And that brings me a lot of joy. And being able to carve out my own schedule, do my own thing, and tell people what to do.
That's a great way to look at it. I like that. And now, what can you add to that?
I think my favorite part of it is that I can create my own platform. I can create my own platform, and I love the mobility. I mean, I've been like a contractual hairdresser, so I'm all over the place. I mean, I've had 13, 14 places. I'm doing home inspections, appraisals. So, you know, kind of it's like great in a way because the children are grown. So my husband and I, say, for instance, we had an appraisal right there at the Georgia-Florida line. We say, oh, okay, we're going to go to St. Simon, or we're going to, you know, for the weekend, if we have like three orders, hey, we can just, and I know just about every main street in Georgia. Yes, and it's wonderful because they have all the nice lunch places, City Hall's usually there. Everything is right there because appraisers, we have to get to City Hall, you know, to go to the tax assessor and everything. But the mobility aspect, Matt, and the platform, I can create my platform. I love that. And as, is it Terry? Mm-hmm. As Terry said, you know, the time with the family. That was very important because as my children, when they were younger, I could take them with me as they would be candy stripers in the hospital when I was working as a secretary whilst I was in school to become a cosmetologist. The girls would be candy stripers, or either when I was in a facility doing work, they could come and help mom with the towels, sweep up hair. You know, those extra feet and hands, they really helped. So it's just the fact that you can create what you want to create.
Well, good luck with the book.
Thank you.
PurpleRiverBooksEnterprise.com is the website. Keep us posted on that. Annelle Elder, Bridget Lewis, the president and owner of Workplace Learning Solutions, the website workplace-learning-solutions.com. Terry Thornton from Thornton Communications, her website, Terry, T-E-R-R-I, Thornton.com. She's on Twitter at T-T-H-O. And Alan Thornton, again, find him online, DecaturComputerHelp.com. They're on Facebook as well. Guys, a great show. We appreciate it.
Thank
we'll have
you
to have you all back, and if you two come back, bring the ukuleles.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do that. Let's have a little fun with it.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. We will be back at noon this afternoon. with our Power Lunch Edition. A couple of local restaurants will be featuring, as well as a preview of the Decatur Barbecue Blues and Bluegrass Festival, which is coming up next weekend here in Decatur. So until then, for Executive Producer Jason Becknell, my name is Matt Holmes. We appreciate you being a part of things here on DeKalb Business Today. We'll see you next time.